What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita Show, back here for another edition of our MLB preview series. Today we're covering the NL Central Division. Joining me is great friend, mentor, I call him the godfather of prospect analysis, Jim Callis. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jack. Very, very kind intro. It's funny, I'm sitting here in the cold north side of Chicago, where I think it's 37 degrees last time I looked a couple minutes ago, and you're in sunny Arizona, which is where I just came back from being out there for spring training, spring breakout. Although I don't think people realize like Arizona can get cold. I hope you brought a jacket. Like I was out there at the park at 7 a.m. on certain days, and it was in the 50s. So you definitely, it can get a little chilly. It's very pleasant in Arizona this time. You're not dealing with 115 degree heat.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the jacket. I'll tell a quick little story here. Last year, my first spring training, first time credentialed and going to these camps, it was probably like the first time I'd ever gone to the backfields and walked around and been on the field and done all that stuff. I was shadowing our friend Bob Nightingale. Love Bob. And I forgot, or I didn't realize that Bob likes to wear a leather jacket too. So I was also wearing my leather jacket. So I was walking around the fields, like walking beside Bob, and someone, like, we had a couple of fans who were lined up for autographs. They're like, look at those guys in the leather jackets.
That's pretty funny. So you know, you're dressed identically, like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. I was like his little minion.
Yes.
So today we're talking about a division that is very near and dear to our heart. It's the Midwest. Jim and I, both Chicago area people at this time, even though I'm in Arizona currently. And we're going to get started. We're going to talk about the team in our backyard, the Chicago Cubs. Oh, you know what? Before we do that, Jim, I have to tell you one other thing. I forgot. Dan O'Dowd, our friend Dan O'Dowd. I just taped the AL Central preview with him. And Dan is such a good guy because I gave him the option, because he signed up, he had committed to doing a podcast before you did. So I said, yep. Dan, you can take the AL Central, the NL Central. And he said, I'll take the AL Central because I think Jim would rather have the NL Central.
Well, Dan's a good teammate. I was going to say, and like, I love doing stuff for MLB Network. And like, everybody at MLB Network, like, they must scout makeup when they hire people. I mean, seriously, like, I've never... Nothing bad to say about anybody I've ever, you know, done a game or a show with. Like, everybody there, just great guys. But, and this is not to slight anybody else, Dan O'Dowd is my favorite person to work with. I've done a number of, done the draft with him. I've done a number of fall league games with him. Great teammate, funny guy. He'll stick the needle in at times, keep you on your toes. And like the amount of, like, people don't see this aspect of it, but especially for the draft, like, it'd be very easy to coast maybe and like look at a little video or get reports from some team you're friendly with. Like, obviously, you know, the guy who runs the Rockies now, Bill Schmidt, was Dan's scouting director. They've known each other forever. Like, I'm sure, you know, if Dan had some questions, Bill would be happy to help him out. But Dan works just as hard as I imagine as he worked as a GM. And like, we'll have these joint meetings sometimes, and he'll always ask questions. He makes people better by asking questions. Like, if somebody, unfortunately, not me, like, he doesn't come out, like, it's not even coming after, but like, if somebody has a slack report or he thinks something's a little off, he'll ask you a question and make you think about it, keeps you on your toes. So like, very kind of Dan, love working with Dan. I guess I will see him probably again at the draft combine in mid-June, but Dan's the best. Love working with Dan.
We'll have to get you guys on a podcast together at some point. That'd be a fun one. All right, so we're going to lead off with the Chicago Cubbies and the over-under total that I have from FanDuel, which, by the way, not powered by FanDuel, but they have the best SEO because I Googled over-under win totals, and they were the first one that came up. So those are the numbers that we're using. 83.5. They won 83 games last year. They brought in a new manager, Craig Counsell. Marcus Stroman, probably the biggest name subtracted from the roster. What's your outlook on the Cubs this year, Jim?
To me, I think they're the clear favorite in the NL Central. And I need to preface this But since we're talking over unders, I'm technically not allowed to give gambling advice. So I'm simply discussing these teams in relationship to whether I think they're better or worse than the, we'll call it the public consensus. Just so I'm clear there. But no, I think they're going to be 83.5 seems low to me. To me, I think they should be the favorite in the National League. Their offseason took a little while to get going, but I like the Michael Busch trade. I think the Michael Busch trade is going to be, I think that was a sneaky good move that protected them in case they didn't re-sign Cody Bellinger, which they did, to a shorter term contract. They got Shota, Imanaga to add to the rotation. I think one of the big keys will be whether Justin Steele can repeat what he did last year, but I like the lineup. I like the rotation. I think they got the makings of a pretty good bullpen. They have the number two farm system in the farm rankings that we have at MLB Pipeline. So I think they have guys who are ready to step in at some point, whether it's Pete Armstrong or Kate Horton are the two biggest guys. But they also have depth. If they want to go out and make a blockbuster trade at midseason. I really like how the Cubs are lined up right now. So to me, I think they should be, I'm not saying they're a lock by any means, but to me, they're a pretty clear favorite in the National League Central. Like I would think they're going to win 90 plus games.
90 plus. Wow. So that's a firm over.
Somebody has to, right? Like, I mean, if you win the division, you're probably winning 90. I think this division is going to be one of the more competitive divisions in baseball. Like four of the team, everybody but the Cardinals in division has a top 10 farm system. There's a lot of young talent. I think the Reds are getting better. I think the Pirates are getting better. I think the Brewers, Brewers have been playoffs 5 the last 6 years. They quietly do a good job every year. I think it's going to be bunched closely together. But again, I look at this division and I think the Cubs have the best pitching depth in the division. And I think they might have the best offense in the division too. And they're a very good defensive club. So to me, I think they're the clear favorite. So I think they are.
How many wins do you think Craig Counsell is worth?
I mean, you could debate how many wins a manager is worth. I do think he's one of the best tactical managers in baseball. I think he's also a good manager of people as well. We could sit here and argue, David Ross didn't necessarily have the reputation of being the best tactical manager, and Craig Counsell really does. But I think a lot of it comes down to the talent you have at your disposal too. And you could be a great tactical manager and you could have bad luck in one-run games in a given year. But, I don't know. Compared to a normal manager, maybe Craig Counsell's worth a couple wins a year. But I do think he's one of the very best managers in baseball, and I think that was a great hire by the Cubs as well.
Yeah, they've got – the Cubs have good starting pitching depth. I like their rotation. It's not like we said, we don't know – is Justin Steele going to be this type of Cy Young, perennial Cy Young candidate, or is he simply going to be maybe an all-star guy? What is Justin Steele? But I think the body of work over the last 2 years is this guy is a very, very good pitcher. Be interesting to see how well he performs. You've got Kyle Hendricks. Imanaga has, I have not watched him, but I've heard he's looked good at spring training. And then one guy that we haven't really talked about is Javier Assad. Had a very, very good year last year, and he might not even start the year in the rotation.
Well, I think he will because Tyone's got, lower back tightness?
Yeah, that's right.
So I think Assad probably will be the fifth guy to start the year. But that goes to where I'm talking about the depth. I mean, you have a guy like Assad who had a very nice year last year as a rookie. He pitched well in September the year before. And then, you've got in the minor leagues, Ben Brown's not too far away, although I think he might be more of a start, more of a reliever in the long run. Cade Horton's not too far away. If you had to go out and make a deal, they have they have more outfielders in the majors and minors than they can possibly play. And they have that deep farm system. So they have plenty of trade fodder. I just think this is a very balanced team, offense, defense, pitching, that also, like I mentioned with that farm system, they have a bunch of young players on the verge of the big leagues. And also, if they wanted to go out, they didn't, But if they wanted to go out and make a trade like the Padres did for Dylan Cease, they had the ammunition to make that kind of trade without decimating their farm system. Like predictions, we'll see how they turn out. I didn't grow up here, so I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm not a Cubs homer, even though I live in Chicago. To me, they look like the clear favorite. Like, I almost think, and we'll talk about the other teams, obviously, Jack. The other teams, you could tell me that they could finish in any order, 2-5. Because I think it's going to be close. I don't think there's going to be a bad team in the division. I think maybe the last place team probably still wins 75 games. I think, like all these teams have a shot, you know, if things go their way to win a wild card. But I just see the Cubs, to me, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but the Cubs, to me, on paper, look like the clear favorite.
Yeah, I don't know about the offense. I mean, I think it can be fine. I mean, Bellinger needs to repeat what he did last year. Suzuki needs to repeat what he did in the second half of the year. I think Horner's solid. Past that, I'm not crazy about the rest of their lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Suzuki played well last year, especially in the second half. I think Michael Bush, we'll see what position he fits in. But Michael Bush, if you look at the numbers, he's hit as well as any player in the upper levels of the minors the last 2 years. He's torn up the last 2 years. He was drafted in the first round back in 2019 by the Dodgers, because the bat was so potent. And I just think he's a guy who he's going to hit for a decent average. He's going to hit for decent power. He's going to get on base. Like, I think he's going to be a really nice addition. It's another left-handed bat in a lineup that was heavily right-handed. And again, Pete Crow Armstrong could come up at some point and, be a gold glove. Like, I don't know that I really expect Mike Tauchman to put up the year he put up at the beginning of last year. I think he'll probably regress a little bit, and he's 33 years old. But I do think if that happens, you've got Pete Crow Armstrong, willing to step in. So, I think they're in pretty good shape. Like, again, I'm not saying that, hey, they're going to win 110 games in the World Series, but I do like the depth. I mean, if they have injuries, they have some contingency plans, you have some roster flexibility, you can move some guys around. We'll see what happens at third base with Christopher Morel. Maybe he winds up at DH and Bush winds up at third, or Madrigal winds up when he's healthy at third. We'll see. But I just think this is a very well-rounded, flexible team. That, as adversity comes, I think they've got the position flexibility and the roster depth to go ahead and adjust. So, again, I just think, to me, like I said, I think they're the clear favorite, Jack, and I think the other four teams are going to be closely bunched up and could kind of shake out in any order. But the Cubs, to me, I think have the most balanced team in the division.
So the best case scenario would be that Bush, PCA, maybe Alexander Canario, some of these young guys really take a big step forward. And that would really, I think, catapult their offense from where they were a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be the top. I mean, I don't think they're going to score as many runs as, say, the Braves or the Dodgers. But, like, I could see their offense being, right there, what would you go? Phillies, Cardinals, Reds, maybe the Diamondbacks. Like, I think they theoretically could have, maybe the third best offense in the National League, but one of the best pitching staffs, which, in part because they're going to have one of the better defenses in the league too. I don't think the offense is necessarily going to be the biggest strength of the team, but I think the offense is going to be, I think they're going to have one of the best pitching staffs and defenses in the National League. I think the offense is going to be in the upper half, at least in the National League. And to me, that's a recipe for 90 plus wins.
All right. So Jim is firmly over. 83.5 is where they're at. They won 83 a year ago. I think it's going to be a little closer to that line. I think I'll go with a slight over. I'm going to go 84.
Okay. I'm saying 90 plus. I'm sticking with 90 plus.
The team that has the highest total, believe it or not, the St. Louis Cardinals, 84.5.
I don't get that one. I mean, and again, I'm simply analyzing the strengths and weaknesses of teams, and I'm giving no gambling advice here. But like, I think before the Bellinger signing, I was writing something about the Cubs, and I was referring to them as the favorite, and I was like, oh, like I do like looking at various lines because you see kind of what the public perception is of teams. And the Cardinals were the favorite to win the division at that point. And I don't know. I don't see it. I know they went out and they signed Kyle Gibson and they signed Lance Lynn and they signed Sonny Gray, who's banged up. But the last time I checked, Jack, Kyle Gibson's 36. Lance Lynn's 36. And Sonny Gray's 34. Like, all those guys going to stay healthy all year? You know, their best holdover pitcher is probably, you know, Miles Mikolas. He's 35. Like, I just see an old rotation there. Like, I don't love the Cardinals. Like, I don't – like, again, could they finish second in the division? Yes. I don't see how in anybody – like, well, I shouldn't say how in anybody's mind because apparently they are in Vegas. I don't see how the Cardinals are the favorite to win that division. Like, the lineup's interesting. You know, you could argue – like, I think it's very comparable to the Cubs. Like, there's some interesting players, but there's also some holes in it. They do have some young guys. Like, last year was a disaster for them. You know, I mean, you know, really, you know, is signing Matt Carpenter and Brandon Crawford, is that really going to revitalize the lineup? You know, I like Paul Goldschmidt. He's 36. I don't know. I see a team where a lot of their best players, Arenado's 32, Contreras is 31. I see a lot of age on this team. I see a team that kind of, you know, didn't play well last year. And I think their hopes really hinge on, hey, we brought in three pitchers in their mid-30s, and these guys are all going to stay healthy and make 30 starts each for us. I don't know. I think that's – I think the Cardinals – I think if you're banking on the Cardinals being the favorite in the division, whoever believes that, you're banking on that everything goes right for them. Like, I think that's a best-case scenario. Like, again – could they finish second in the division? I think they could. I think that division's wide open. Like I'll probably say this, Jack, like 10 times the remainder of this podcast. I think 2 through 5, you could make a case for any of those teams finishing second and any of those teams finishing fifth. I do think worked last year. I do like their young guys. I think Jordan Walker's going to be starting this league. I do like Mason Wynn. I like Mason Wynn better defensively than offensively. I don't think he's going to be like a big difference maker offensively this year. You know, Alec Burleson can hit. You know, how much power is going to be there? We'll see. But I don't know. Like anybody who thinks like to me, anybody who thinks the Cardinals are the favorites are just thinking that everything that could go right for the Cardinals is going to go right. Like basically, the players who did have good years last year are all going to come back and have good years again. And the players who didn't have good years last year are going to bounce back. And all the free agent signings, even though it's a bunch of older guys, are going to pan out. I don't know. I don't know about that. I like Dylan Carlson and Mason Wynn's upside, but neither of those guys really did much last year. Alec Burleson didn't really show much power last year. I mean, he's a young guy. Like, I don't know. I'm not on that one. I believe in Noel Gorman. I think Noel Gorman could hit 30 homers this year. But You, I don't know. I'm just not buying that one. I'm not buying that one, Jack.
It feels like to me similar to picking Michigan State to win the Big Ten in basketball every year. Basically, you're going off the name brand and reputation.
Yeah.
That's what people might be doing with the Cardinals. I mean, I'm interested in some of these young guys. I mean, you mentioned Mason Wynn, Jordan Walker, Tekoa Roby. Maybe he's a guy who comes up this year. Victor Scott, got a good look at him at the fall league. So I think they've got some interesting pieces there. But last year was just such a poor, poor, poor season. They dug themselves in that early hole. Ollie Marmol got extended despite the fact that, you know, these last couple of years have kind of been underwhelming compared to what they had done with Mike Schilt before that. So I don't know. I don't think that there's really anybody who's a safe pick. I don't feel that there's a safe pick to win this division because I think it could be won by any number of teams. Yeah, I know you feel that way.
I think the Cubs are safe. Do I think the Cardinals will be better than last year when they won 71 games? Yes. Am I convinced they're going to play over 500 ball? No, I'm not. I'll have to think this through as we're talking. I don't think I would pick the Cardinals to finish second in the division.
I mean,
I guess the Cardinals. I think it's more likely the Cardinals finish fourth or fifth than they finish second, in my mind.
Well, they have to, in order to hit this over, they have to be 14 games better than they were a year ago. And I just don't know if they're that much better. I think they're closer to like, I think they're, it's 84 and a half. I would go under. I'm going to go 81 and 81. I think they're going to be a 500 average team.
I could see if they're going to be better, but I see them more as a 500 being a realistic aspiration than being the favorite in the division. Like, I guess we'll talk about the other teams also. Like, I wish the Brewers pitching was a little bit better. And I know they lost Council, but they seem to figure things out. I really like the young lineup. Like, I could easily see the Reds and the Brewers finishing ahead of the Cardinals if they had pitching, if their pitching comes through. But it'll be interesting.
Let's talk the Brewers. I mean, this is, what do you like about the Brewers? I'll ask you that.
Well, I really think they have, you know, a players. I think their farm system has, like, a bunch of guys who are going to pop in their lineup this year. Jackson Churio is going to be a superstar. Jacob Mizorowski might have the best stuff in the minors. Jefferson Cuero is about half season away. He's one of the better. He might be the best defensive catcher in the minors. And they have William Contreras, who's one of the best offensive catchers in the minor in the big leagues, and was better defensively than I think people thought. Tyler Black's a really unsung hitter who controls the strike zone. He had 55 extra base hits, 55 steals last year. Joey Ortiz is probably going to take over and play a lot of third base for him this year. It might be the shortstop of the long-term future if Willy Adames leaves after a free agent after a year. I like the Reese Hoskins signing for what they're paying him. Gary Sanchez is going to hit for some power, and he's not going to have to shoulder the big catching load. I think a lot of their hitters, you know, they're younger. You know, Adames is a good player, obviously. But, you know, they're like Churio and, you know, Garrett Mitchell, you know, are on the upswing. You know, Christian Yelich isn't necessarily the MVP-level guy. He was a few years ago, but he did bounce back some last year. I just think it's a very deep lineup. With a deep bench, I think, you know, they have a lot of options when you talk about the guys who are coming in too. Even if guys get hurt or a guy has a bad year, I think the Brewers are going to be one of the better offensive teams in the NL Central. It's just, you know, I wish they hadn't lost all the pitching they had. You know, they traded the Burns, you know, Woodward's out for the year. You know, Freddie Peralta has, you know, been very good. But, you know, they're going to be asking a lot. You know, they're going to need Colin Ray and Jacob Junis and Joe Ross and D.L. Hall to step in. And I know that's a big question mark. So that's why I wouldn't necessarily pick them to win the division, but I do like the offense, and they just always find a way, shift guys around. I don't know they're necessarily gonna hit on every pitcher they brought in. Like, that's probably too much to ask, but I'll bet a couple of those guys are better than we think. And I think they're going to have a pretty deep bullpen too that will maybe lessen the load. So, I personally would pick the Brewers to win more games than the Cardinals.
Yeah, and despite the changes that they've seen to their roster over the past several years, where they've patched things up quite a bit as a mid-market team, we'll call them a mid-market team, they've been one of the most consistent teams in the National League in terms of reaching the postseason. They always seem to be underestimated a little bit, especially last year. I did not think they'd be a playoff team, and they won 92 games? Yeah, 92 games last year. And generally, they're a team that, even though things haven't broken their way in the postseason, they're a type of team I would not want to play in the postseason because of how their pitching is lined up. I think the Devin Williams injury is going to hurt them significantly. They still have a very good bullpen, though. I would go over on this 76.5. I think this team is better than St. Louis, as we mentioned. I could see this team winning the division.
I think, like I said, I think I would pick them to finish second right now. So, yeah, like I do too. Like, if the Cubs falter, I'll give the Brewers credit. I think, you know, it's funny, they haven't been to the World Series, and their payroll is higher than the Rays. I'm not like, the Rays are the model of running an organization efficiently without a lot of assets. And the Brewers have more resources than the Rays, but they don't have the resources of the Dodgers or the Yankees, or, to be frank, the Cardinals or the Cubs. And yet they keep finding a way to win. And, like, I actually think they might be the most underrated organization in terms of
Yeah.
Just quietly getting the job done year after year. Like what you said, they've been in the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years. Like, I don't even know how many people realize that off the top of their head. And they have one of the best farm systems in baseball with a lot of guys who are just about ready to, you know, join the big leagues this season, who have a chance to be stars. So yeah, I have a lot of respect for the Brewers, and I guess I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt a little bit too. Like, you know, their pitching is a lot different. The rotation was a lot different than it was last year. Devin Williams is hurt, but I think they're going to surprise us. And I think their pitching will be good enough. And I think their lineup is going to be pretty solid. Like, I think they're going to, you know, I don't think they'll blow you in either category, but I think they could be one of those teams that's kind of, you know, 6th to 8th in the National League in scoring and 6th to 8th in the National League in pitching, and you add it up, they'll be, you know, like running for a wild card when all is said and done.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of those young guys. I do think that there's potential for this to be one of the better lineups that they've had in recent years. If these guys take some strides this year with Shorio and Ortiz and Mitchell, I mean, this team could be kind of fun to watch.
Another young guy. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, they have some veterans in that lineup, you know, your Yelichs and your Hoskins, but, you know, I think more than half their guys in that lineup are going to be 26 and younger. So it's younger guys who generally are going to stay healthier and have more room for improvement than a guy in their 30s. And, you know, like, going into the season, like, I guess they're going to platoon Ortiz and Sal Frelick at third base, which will be interesting. But they've got, you know, Joey Weimer, who is probably their fourth outfielder right now. You know, like, Jake Bowers is even, like, I still think Jake Bowers is decent in some regards. Sorry about the phone ringing there in the background. I like their depth. Like I said, like, if somebody gets hurt, I don't think it's going to wreck their lineup. They're going to have options to plug in and move guys around. I like this Brewers team. But like I said, I'd go Cubs 1, Brewers 2. And I think the Brewers, like I think you said the same thing, Jack. I think the Brewers on paper as we go in the season, I like the Brewers more than the Cardinals.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. And I think one more thing, just talking about like organizational stuff, like you said, this is one of the better organizations in the sport that doesn't get a lot of credit. To me, they feel a little bit like Cleveland. Like, these two teams are teams that are in the Midwest, not a huge payroll, consistently find a way to, they typically draft and develop pitching well, and they do a good job with just finding a way to stay competitive. And now they both have new managers this year. Neither team has, Cleveland got to the World Series that one year, but neither team has had that big World Series win quite yet. But I'm a big fan of the Brewers organization.
No, I am too. Like I said, I think the reason they don't get maybe more national love is they haven't had that World Series run. You know, they came within a game, lost to Dodgers in, I think it was 18. But I think, like, not quite getting to the World Series, maybe people don't realize it. Like, I mean, outside of, yes, you got the Astros and the Braves and the Dodgers, I think, have been to playoffs each of the last 6 years. You know, the Brewers are right there with the Yankees. I mean, I think both Brewers and Yankees have been to 5 of the last 6 playoffs, and you're talking about entirely different levels of resources there.
Did you realize that in each of those five postseason trips, the Brewers have lost to the team, been eliminated to the team that went to the World Series?
I had not.
Yeah, it was Arizona in 23, Braves in 21, Dodgers in 20, Nationals in 19, and then Dodgers in 18.
Yeah, that's pretty. And then 1, 2, 3 of those teams won the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, that's the thing. So, like, it's like they've done really a very good job, I think, of developing players, trading for young guys, you know, zigging and zagging when they need to. You know, Matt Arnold's now in charge, and David Stearns is in New York. But, like, I don't see any reason why they can't continue to have that success. And, like, so, again, I mean, to repeat, I would pick the Cubs. The Cubs, to me, are a pretty strong favorite in the National League Central. But if I had to pick a team, like, okay, if it's not the Cubs, then I think it would be the Brewers, which is kind of
let's talk about the trendy pick. Everyone, I feel like this will be the trendy pick everywhere. The Cincinnati Reds. They had a very fun middle of the summer, and they tailed off at the end of the year. They're at 82.5.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, with the Reds, I think it just comes down to the pitching. I mean, you're going to score runs in that park. You've got, you know, they broke in last year, Matt McClain, Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Steer, Christian Encarnacion Strand, all like broke into the lineup. They're all going to be in the lineup this year. You know, Noelvi Marte suspended for half the year. I think they're still not going to have any problems scoring runs. They, I mean, it's what I don't necessarily know why they signed Jamer Candelario. Like, they didn't need him based on their roster at the time.
Yeah.
But it kind of works out that that's going to be a nice safety net with Marte suspended. You know, as you throw together those hitters, I mean, I still think you saw the league adjust Ellie De La Cruz pretty well. He's got exciting tools. He's going to have to settle down the approach some. But, like, I think the team's going to score a bunch of runs. And just like last year, it's going to come down to the pitching. You know, is, you know, they went out and signed Frankie Montas. Is he going to stay healthy? They already have two of the guys they were hoping would be starters coming into the year, potentially, and Nick Lodolo and Brandon Williamson are hurt. Is Hunter Green going to hold up? You know, Graham Ashcraft is interesting. You know, they signed Nick Martinez as a free agent. Andrew Abbott was another guy they brought up last year. I think with the Reds are simple. Like, Jack, it's like, if they get pitching, they could win the division or they could make a wild card. And if, you know, I think Rhett Lauder is going to be a key, the number 7 overall pick in last year's draft. I think he's going to be up pretty quick this year. But like with the Reds, I think their analysis to me is simple. If they get pitching, they're going to be dangerous. And if they don't, they're probably going to be floating around 500 and miss the playoffs. But if they do get the pitching, I do think they'll definitely make a run the playoffs and they could potentially win the division if their pitching's good enough. But the pitching, like you could, I go back and forth on them and the Brewers, Jack, because I think they're going to score more runs than the Brewers. And the Brewers are basically remaking their rotation. So, like, you know, the Reds, if the Reds pitching is close to the Brewers, the Reds are going to probably score more runs, and I would pick the Reds to go ahead of them. But I think right now I would go Cubs win the division. I still think pretty handily. I would go Brewers edging the Reds for second place, and I'd probably put the Cardinals in fourth.
I like this Reds team. I think they're going to be really fun. Interested to see what they can get out of Rhett Lauder and a lot of these pitchers. Maybe Nick Lodolo can have a bounce back year. I mean, he looked really good at the end of 2022. TCU, go Frogs. Yeah. But I Noelvi Marte, we got to mention, suspended, what, 80 games? PED use?
Yep, half the season.
Yeah,
I think they're still going to score runs. I still think they're going to score runs. I mean, they got power in that lineup with McClain and De La Cruz and Steer and Candelario and Encarnacion Strand and Will Benson. Like, I mean, everybody in their starting lineup is a threat to hit at least 20 homers if they play every day. So they're going to score plenty of runs even without Marte. Although that is a loss. It just comes down to the pitching. Like none of their guys has a – like, they have some young guys in rotation like Ashcraft and Abbott, and most everybody else that they're hoping are going to be starters – has been hurt at one point or another in the last couple of years. So it's just going to come down. It's going to come down to the pitching in the end for them, especially in that ballpark. Even if you had an average lineup, you're going to score runs by the nature of that ballpark. And it makes it that much more difficult for the pitching. That one's easy to me, Jack. If you tell me how their pitching plays out, then I can tell you how their season's going to go.
If they have a good pitching staff this year, what do they do?
If they have a good pitching staff, then I think they're easily a wild card team and they make a run at the division. But like, there's a lot of question marks with the injuries and pitching in that ballpark.
I think this will be a fun team to watch if you got MLB.TV, even if they don't end up competing for the division with these young kids, the lineup, they're going to score a lot of runs. And I also want to give a little love to Matt McClain, because last year everybody was talking about Ellie De La Cruz, and of course, because he was great TV. Matt McClain was their best rookie last year, though. He was so stable, and when they lost him at the end of the year, that was where a lot of things really went south for them.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue, and again, I mean, Ellie De La Cruz's tools are as exciting as anybody's in the big leagues, but like, if you're looking at the rookies on the Reds last year, in terms of how productive they were, I mean, Matt McClain, Spencer Steer, and Christian Encarnacion Strand were all more productive than Ellie De La Cruz, who cooled off. And then if we want to throw pitchers in there, I think you got to throw Andrew Abbott in there as well. They brought an amazing amount of talent to the big leagues last year, and they still have more on the way. But yeah, like I said, like very fun. I agree with you 100%, Jack. I think it'd be fun to watch. I think with their offense and perhaps with the volatility of their pitching staff, like no lead is going to be safe either way. There could be a lot of 7-6 games. There could be a lot of late inning drama. They are going to be a lot of fun to watch this year because I think there's going to be a lot going on in their games. I don't know if you track this, but in terms of runs scored and allowed, I think they're going to have the most offense in their games between runs scored and runs allowed of any team in the NL Central. I think I would say that pretty easily. I feel very strongly about that.
82.5. You think that's a good number?
I think that's about where I'd put them. Because like I said, I just think the pitching, they have to prove that their pitcher, like even Montas has been hurt a lot the last couple of years. Like their pitching could go either way. So I would go Cubs, Brewers, and then Reds. I think the Reds will be, a few games over 500, a few games under 500, depending on the pitching. But I think that number is probably the most fair number of all these over unders you've been throwing at me. Like I think I'm in agreement with that one more than I am the other three. I think the Cubs are way too low. I think the Cardinals are a bit high, and I think the Brewers are a little bit low.
I'm going over on this. They won 82 games last year despite a really bad start where I think they were like 10, maybe 12 games under 500 early in the year. Got it clicking. I think they will win more games than they did last year. I think you're going to get – I get the only thing that would prevent that is a sophomore slump and the pitching problems. I'm expecting guys to take a step forward from last year. So I'm actually – I wouldn't be surprised if you see this team with a win total in the upper 80s making the playoffs.
Then their pitching really comes through for them if that happens.
Yeah, I think that – excuse me. Yeah, I think their pitching will do better. It's just a wild card. You don't really know, but
these three teams we just talked about, I think I've kind of said the same thing about all of them. Like there's pitching questions on all of them. Like, do the Cardinals' old pitchers, hold up? Do the Brewers' new pitchers, are they efficient? I think the Brewers have a really good defense, which is going to help their pitching staff. I think the Reds play in the most difficult park to pitch in of three. And really, like I said, I think those teams could finish. I would go Brewers, Reds, Cardinals. I think you could see those teams finishing in any kind of order, 2 through 4. And I think the team that finishes the best among those teams will look back and say, okay, their pitching came through more for them than the other two clubs did, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying if the Reds win 88 games, like you're saying, then their pitching really came through for them this year.
Well, 88 would be the highest win total that I have so far in this division. So that would have them as the leader right now for my NL Central pick.
I'm telling you, the Cubs are going to win that division, barring disaster.
I think your point, though, I mean, like we're talking about the pitching, though, that makes that's a really good point, a really good case for the Cubs, is their pitching staff is solid and stable, and that's probably the safest pick.
And they're going to score runs too. So, like, I'm not saying they're going to be a juggernaut, but I think their lineup. I think Michael Bush is. I think he got overshadowed in that Dodgers system. I think Michael Bush is going to surprise. Like if you told me he hit 260 with 20-25 homers this year, I think he's fully capable of doing that and a healthy amount of walks. So anyway, I will continue to to bang the drum for the Cubs. Not because I did not grow up here. I did not grow up a Cubs fan. To me the Cubs are the clear favorite.
Well, one more thing about the Cubs lineup is with Council managing this team, I do think there will be some philosophical differences between him and Ross. And one of the things that Ross did last year was he rode with guys way too long. Ian Happ was batting third all season long. If Ian Happ hits the way that he did last year, he's not going to be batting third come middle of the season. That's going to make the lineup better.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right, final team, the Pittsburgh... Excuse me, sorry.
Get all choked up talking about the Pirates.
Final team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, weighing in at 75.5. Last year, they won 76 games.
You see, that one's tough for me. Because I think I would pick the Pirates to finish fifth in the division. Oh, I would. If you have to put guys in slots, I would pick the Pirates to finish fifth in the division. I do think Ben Cherington and company are improving the Pirates. I do think they're going to be better. But like I said, I think this division is a tough division. And there are no easy teams. You know, you don't have, you know, like the American League Central where, you know, the Royals and White Sox, everybody's going to beat up on. I know the schedule's more balanced than it used to be. But so I think that one seems kind of fair because somebody's got to finish fifth. I do think where there could be like they also have a very good farm system and they have a lot of young pitchers who are interesting. And, you know, I could see Jared Jones is a top 100 prospect who could join the rotation this year. We're going to see Paul Skeens in that rotation at some point this year. Quinn Priester doesn't count as a rookie anymore, but he's got some upside. You know, Roenty Contreras is a pitching prospect who's got, you know, a lot of upside. I'm not sure what his status is right now. I haven't kept up on everything as maybe as well as I should. But I do think their pitching staff has a chance to be significant. Like, I think Paul Skeens was normal pick last year, Jack. Number one overall pick. I think we're going to see him in the big league. It's going to be like Steven Strasburg all over again. Hopefully he stays healthier long term. But I think he's just going to tear up the minor leagues. He's going to be in the big leagues by June. And that's going to give them, maybe at the beginning of his career, he's not going to be like the most dominant pitcher in the world. But I think it's going to give him a mid-rotation starter in the middle of the season. I think Jared Jones is sneaky good. I think the key for them is, you know, what are you going to get out of their offense? You know, O'Neill Cruz, you know, does he stay healthy all year? He's looked great this spring. You know, is Ke'Bryan Hayes, you know, what are you getting out of him offensively? He's great defensively. You know, Brian Reynolds has a chance to be a pretty good hitter. You know, Henry Davis was the number one pick a couple of years ago. You know, what are you getting out of him? Is he playing catcher? Is he playing right field? Jared Triolo, I think, is a sleeper. You know, maybe Rowdy Tellez gives you 20 homers. Like, I think there's a lot of ifs in Pittsburgh, but I do see a path where I don't think it's impossible. I'm not saying this is going to happen. And again, somebody's got to finish fifth, and they'd probably be on paper my team to finish fifth in the National League Central. I wouldn't be shocked at all if you see what teams will have, like a lot of young talent and great farm systems. Like they surprise you, like, and they're good a year before you expect. And if you told me they won 85 games, even though I'm picking them to finish fifth right now, I gotta be like, yeah, I could see it. I do think 2 through 5 are very volatile. I would pick them to finish fifth right now, but if you told me they won 85 games and had the second best record in the division, and even snuck in and got like the last wild card spot, I don't think it's impossible. There's a lot of young guys, and if things go their way, I do think the arrow is pointing up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they were kind of fun last year at points. I mean, I think they started 20-9 or 21-9. They had the best record in the National League through the first month. And I think they had a pretty good end of the season too. So, you know, you get some of these pitchers in. Lineup isn't bad. I mean, there are some pieces there. So I agree with you. I think there's a world in which this team could be second best team in the division, mid 80s win total. I won't go that high, but I mean, like, if they won 76 games last year, I think they're going to be better than last year. So I'll put them, like, I've got all these teams like around what? I mean, they're all like around 80 wins is what I have. And it's not going to turn out that way. One of these teams is actually going to bottom out. But like, as I look at, if I'm trying to project where I think how these teams will do in a simulation, like, I think they're all like around an 80 win to, you know, that like, the worst case scenario is some of these teams, like the Cardinals. Cardinals could be like last year where they won 71 games. But I said they're like a 500 team is what I see them. So maybe they end up being the team that takes a few steps. They lose a few more games than I have them. But I mean, like, none of these teams I see as like a 100 loss type of teams. But I also don't see anyone as a 100 win type of team.
No, I'd agree with that. And like I said, like, I'll keep hearing white. I think the Cubs are a clear favorite in my mind. Aside from that, like, again, you can come up with scenarios where, you know, things go their way a little bit any of these teams could finish second, and you could come with scenarios if things don't go their way. Any of these teams could finish fifth. Like the Cardinals, you know, we keep talking about how they lost 91 games last year. I don't think anybody in this division is going to lose 91 games this year. Like you said, I could see, like, again, the Cubs winning 90 or so games and win the division. And I think you could see the other teams clustering, you know, around like 77 to 85 wins. I would be kind of surprised just looking at the National League as a whole. I would think this division gets at least one wild card. And I don't think it's out of the question that they could get two wild cards. You know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I do think it's a fun division, because I do think it's the most balanced division. You aren't going to have a team that, like, I think almost every other division, well, maybe the American League East is probably a little stronger. But outside the American League East and the other four divisions, I think you're going to have at least one team lose 100, you know, potentially lose 100 games in each of the other divisions. You know, maybe not the Nationals and NL East, but, you know, National League East seems like it's Braves and Phillies and everybody else. Whereas in this, I honestly think, I think the Pirates are a longer shot, but like, I don't think it, like, I won't be like, oh my gosh, how the Pirates make the playoffs. Like, I do think there's a lot of young, interesting players in Pittsburgh, and if they catch a couple breaks, maybe they win 85 games to sneak in with a wild card.
Well, last year, your top two teams were the Brewers and the Cubs from a record standpoint. And you got Reds, Pirates, Cardinals. And I think all three of those teams are going to win more. They'll be better than they were a year ago. Reds, Pirates, Cardinals. So that's the thing. I just don't see anybody as like a, yeah, like the Rockies in the West could lose. They're going to lose 100 again, I think, this year. And yeah, just kind of like thinking about how many playoff teams we send. I mean, I do agree with you. I think you're going to have the Braves and the Phillies. So that's one wild card spot, Phillies most likely. And then out West, you know, how many teams make the playoffs from that division? I would go Dodgers and Diamondbacks, but then I'm really not sure about the Padres, Giants, either of those teams. I mean, they should be in the mix. So
I could see the, like, the Phillies feel like a wild card lock to me if we're both giving the Braves the division, which I would. And then, like, I think those other two wild cards, like, I don't really see any other NL East teams winning a wild card. And then I could see the Central and West could have both of the other wild cards, or neither, or one each. I feel like that wild card bunch is what? Like, it would be the Cardinals, Reds, Brewers, Diamondbacks, Padres, Giants, with maybe the Pirates as a longer shot. But, like, yeah, I mean, those are both interesting divisions. I mean, the difference is, I mean, I think you got to pick the Dodgers to run away in the NL West. And I don't think, even though I think the Cubs are, to me, a pretty clear favorite, I don't think the Cubs are going to just run away with the National League Central like the Dodgers should with the National League West.
Well, yeah, you've got the Cubs at 90 wins, right? You said 90?
I'd say 90 plus. I'm trying not to go crazy. Plus. I think the Cubs are a really, really well-balanced team. And like, we could come up with various scenarios, like, hey, what if this goes wrong or that goes wrong? And I could come up with ways the Cubs can adjust, like have the depth to adjust, and have, if they want to go out and make a trade, they could do that too. I just think they're balanced so much better than the rest of teams in the National League Central. Like to me, like, the only way the Cubs don't win the National League Central is if too much stuff goes wrong. And for any of the other teams in the National League Central, the only way I see them actually winning the NL Central is a lot of things have to go right. And if everybody – it won't work out. No, not all five teams are going to have the same good or bad fortune where it all balances out. But like, I just think a lot of things have to go wrong for the Cubs not to win the division.
So, but you've got them in the 90s for a win total. And
yeah.
The Dodgers,
I'd say 90, I'd say 90 plus. Like I think – I think they're gonna have a really good year. I think they will have a very good year.
And the Dodgers, a lot of us have in the hundreds, so that's like
that's fair.
Runaway thing. So like last year they were 16 games better than Arizona, and it'd probably be something like that again.
Yeah,
whereas you know, it's probably gonna be a little tighter in the NL Central than that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So All right. Well, we did the NL Central, Jim. Who are you most excited to watch in terms of prospects?
In the NL Central?
Yeah, rookies.
Or in baseball as a whole.
NL Central.
Well, I mean, I think Paul Skeens for the most, you know, number one. I got to see him pitch an inning. I got to see the first matchup, the non-spring breakout matchup with him versus Jackson Holliday. And I watched, I was in Arizona, so I watched the spring breakout like on my computer when he faced Holliday. You know, I've said this before. I mean, like I just go to my go-to quote comments about Paul Skeens because I've talked about him so much, Jack. But like he literally, I've been covering the draft. I'm old. I've been covering the draft since 1989. And I think the two.
But you were very young when you started. I'll mention that.
I was very young when I started, straight out of college. But the two best pitching prospects, I think, in draft history, like I consider myself a draft historian. The two best pitching prospects in draft history are Steven Strasburg and Paul Skeens. And you can argue, you could argue it either way. You could argue that Steven Strasburg's stuff relative to his time was a greater gap than Paul. There's more guys with crazy stuff now. But you could also argue that college baseball is better now, and so that Paul Skeens had to face a better quality of competition than Steven Strasburg. You could argue it either way. You know, it's tough. But Paul Skeens, it's just like the you know, guys can quibble, oh, the fastball shape. Well, okay, maybe the fastball shape isn't the optimal fastball shape that everybody likes, that ride, carry, top of the zone fastball all the time. But the guy sits 98 miles an hour the whole game. He touches 102 every time out, and he commands it well. So, like, okay, it's not the perfect shape. I'll take a guy who commands 98 to 102. That's going to play. His slider is a total wipeout pitch. His changeup, he doesn't throw as much as our two pitches, but one of his two College World Series starts, it was his best pitch that night. Like, his changeup can be filthy, and you can't sit there and protect against the changeup when you have to worry about the fastball slider combination. He's durable, you know. That guy. So anyway, like he's number one. Like he's super super exciting. He'd be the clear number one prospect. I mean, there's lots of interesting prospects. I mean, with the Cubs, you got Pecor Armstrong, who's the best defensive prospect in the minor leagues. And I think he'll be up again at some point this year. He probably would be their starting center fielder if they hadn't gone out and re-signed Cody Bellinger. And he could use some more time at AAA. He's still young. Cade Horton with the Cubs, I think we're going to see him in the Cubs rotation at some point this year. And Cade Horton is right up there. Yeah, there's Paul Skeens, and there's everybody else in terms of pitching prospects. And Cade Horton's right up there at the top of everybody else. Like, he's got a very impressive fastball slider combination. He's super athletic, continues to get better. I think he's got to be a star. You know, with the Reds, you know, Noel V. Marte suspended, but, you know, we're going to see Rhett Lauder, who was the number two pitching prospect in last year's draft. And he's super polished. I think he's going to be in Cincinnati in a hurry. You know, with the Brewers, I was talking about Jackson Chourio is the number two prospect in baseball. I mean, he's, you know, he's as exciting athletically as Elly De La Cruz. His tools maybe aren't like he doesn't maybe run quite as fast or throw quite as hard as Elly De La Cruz, but he's a better hitter. Like, so he might be a more productive offensive player. And then, you know, Jacob Mizrowski's got crazy good stuff. He might be up in the second half. And Tyler Black can really hit. Jefferson Cuero is a really good defender. And Joey Ortiz is a really good defender too, who can, both he and Cuero are better offensively than you think. So a lot of guys there. You know, Cardinals, we're going to see Mason Winn, who's probably got the best arm of any prospect defensively right now. We'll see how much he hits. But yeah, you know, and we might see, like you mentioned, we might see Takoa Roby, you know, up at some point this year. Maybe Tink Hens moves real fast. But there's a lot of interesting prospects. You know, like I think I mentioned at the top, Jack, NL Central's got four of our top 10 farm systems in all of baseball. You know, the Cubs are two, the Brewers are three, the Reds and Pirates are in that, I think, 6 to 10 range. I don't have the list in front of me right now. But like I think in terms of exciting young talent, the NL Central is the best division in baseball. Like, and we saw a bunch of guys come up last year, but I think in terms of prospects, the NL Central as a whole has better prospects and, you know, and more potential star prospects than any other division in baseball right now. So I think it's another reason this race is going to be a little bit more wide open and it'd be fun to watch. And I think the division as a whole is going to be really fun to watch over the next couple of years.
His Jim Callis, you can check him out and read him at MLB Pipeline. He's also on Marquee Sports Network sometimes, talking Cubs and their farm system, Road to Wrigley. Always a very fun show. One of my favorite sports shows, actually. And he's also on that network. He's on MLB Network popping in, and he'll be ramping up with all that in a few months with the draft combine, yep. MLB draft coverage. Follow him on Twitter. The Twitter handle is what?
It's a Jim Callis MLB. So find me on there. I try to tweet everything we have going on in MLB pipeline. But yeah, it's I'm pretty busy this time of year, but it's a good time of year.
Thanks for squeezing us in and fitting in to do this preview. Greatly appreciate it, Jim. And is there anything else that you want to plug or promote while you're here to get everything there that you're doing?
No, I think you got everything. You did a nice job of that. I just encourage people to come and check out MLB Pipeline as part of the MLB.com site. Everything we do is free. Nothing's behind a paywall. We just, in the last couple weeks, released brand new top 30 prospects list for every organization, new reports, new videos. We're in the middle of cranking out a bunch of spring training reports. Opening day is coming, so a bunch of opening day content. And then personally, I can't wait to dive like heavily into the draft over the next 3 months. So a lot going on, but it's a lot of fun doing this type of stuff. And I appreciate you having me on, Jack. It's good to see you. It's crazy.
Thanks for being here, Jim. We'll do it again soon.
We're kind of ducking each other. I was in Arizona. You were here. I guess you were in Florida. I was in Florida briefly. Then I think you were back home in Illinois for a little bit, right? And then I was in Arizona, and now we switched. So,
I was home for less than 48 hours.
And I was home for like less than 48 hours between Florida and Arizona. Well, not quite. I was home for like about 4 days between Florida and Arizona, and I was back on the road again. So,
yeah. So we keep missing each other, but hey, maybe I'll stay out here and I'll be here for the combine. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be, you got to go 3 months in. Combine's a little less than 3 months away.
I can do it. So. I'm happy here. I love it.
Beat the heat. Be careful of the heat. But yeah, it'll be good. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Great having you on today. All right, y'all. That concludes our NL Central preview show here on the Jack Vita Show. Make sure you guys hit subscribe here on YouTube. I think we've got, this is a new channel. This was all on my previous channel, but we recently broke off the sports content from the entertainment content. So we're starting from scratch here with our Jack Vita Show sports channel. So please hit subscribe. We're just starting from scratch with it, really. I think we only have a couple subscribers at the time of this recording. So hit subscribe, turn on those notifications. Jim will be back, as will Dan O'Dowd and many of our great contributors and reoccurring guests and correspondents that we've had on this show. So we'll keep bringing you that baseball content all season long. And we'll probably have some NFL draft stuff coming up soon too, because I'm from Chicago. I'm also a Steelers fan. There's been a ton to talk about as it relates to quarterbacks, the draft, all that. So we'll get you covered on that as well in due time. Just right now, I'm a little busy with all the baseball stuff. So please hit subscribe. And you can also follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Jack Vita Show. Until next time, we got more of these previews to do. So until our next preview, I'm Jack Vita. Bring in the dancing lobsters.